It's just a shame. Well, you look at, I tell you what, you look at these red states anyway. Look at most of them. Okay. Mississippi, Kentucky, Alabama, West Virginia. And these, now I know that, Manchin, Senator Manchin is supposed to be a Democrat. Yeah. Okay. And what do they call these Republicans? Oh, he's a dino. He's a dino. They call Republicans that, what do they call it? Rhinos.
That's it.
Republican in name only. That's the same thing for Joe Manchin. You know, that's one of the reasons why, everything that we've been talking about over the last several weeks is that, how important voting is, how important it is to vote. And so this is, another reason, because you look, not only the presidential race, we talked about that too. Well, who about these governors? Okay. You've got some shady governors out here. We just talked about the governor of Mississippi, Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida. Oh my goodness. And he's up for re-election, as a matter of fact. And anybody who would elect this guy again, he's a mini Trump.
Why would they elect him the first time? Ugh.
You know, everything about those elections, anytime a Republican wins something, I'm thinking right now, we're going to hold it. Gerrymandering, redistricting, that's the same thing, isn't it? Or is it?
That's definitely a part of it most of the time. Because in order to, you know, do the gerrymandering, they are cutting into the Democrats' ability to have a majority of votes in their particular area. So if you divide up the votes, say they've got 56% of people in that area are voting Democrat, and then you split them down the middle and put some in an area that are, that's, you know, is majority Republican, and another that you know is majority Republican, their votes don't matter as much. Their votes don't carry as much weight.
Right.
They do that. So.
It is a shame. There was something, let's see, who was it? I'm trying to think of this. Was it Jamie Raskin? I believe I like Jamie. Is Jamie a senator?
I know the name. I can't think of what they do. Let me look it up for you.
Okay. Well, one thing about him, he sent in, he was talking about, this doggone electoral college. Dr. Demery, and you know how I feel about the electoral college. You know exactly how I feel about that. Those cats, I mean, it is just absolutely deplorable. Just like when I just why I think that Hillary Clinton, when she called Trump, she said half of Trump's voters are deplorables, and everybody was in an uproar. And then she took it back and apologized. I wish she hadn't apologized. She was right the first time.
Well, that doesn't mean she should have said it out loud.
Why not?
She's a politician. They are supposed to behave better than that.
Well, yeah, they're supposed to act better, but we already know, come on now, Republicans would do it to Democrats in a heartbeat.
Well, of course, which is why we would expect better from Hillary Clinton. That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm still saying, I just wish she had stuck to her guns and kept it, because what she said, I understand, and, you know, we've got to be, you know, we've got to do better, you know, just like, Michelle Obama says, you know, when they
go low, we go high. Exactly.
And you know how I feel about that?
You don't care, William.
I don't.
We know you don't care.
I really don't. No, because like I said, I didn't think she was wrong in saying it. Now a lot of people will disagree with me, but, I don't care. I really don't. I really don't.
Well, we understand. We completely get it. The difference is you're not a politician. So you can do that.
Okay. You know, I think that if I were a politician, I would still do it. I would do it. I'm telling you.
And then you be one of those people that's reading from the teleprompter trying to pretend like you're sorry. We all know he's really not sorry.
it is just absolutely awful. It's just absolutely awful. But anyway, a couple of things I want to call over today. And that is the, I want us to talk about, oh boy, the New York AG, Letitia James. Ooh. Yeah. Oh yes. Oh my God. Is it Christmas in September already? Oh my God.
For you, look, this is the thing. I know everybody, every time something, comes up, everybody gets excited. And I'm sorry. I still am not. I mean, we have had investigation after investigation after investigation. And think about it. Before he was elected president, he was sued and investigated and whatnot. I don't know about the investigations, but I do know that he's been involved in multiple lawsuits.
Right.
You know, and you see that he still hasn't learned anything because he's not really being held accountable. When he is finally held accountable, then I will celebrate. But I got excited when the Mueller investigation was going on. You know, I knew better than to get excited when he was impeached the first time because the votes just weren't there. But when you are cowering in your place of business from a mob of people who are calling for your death, and you still support the person who sent them there, I have no faith in, I don't have any faith in those people getting it done. Not especially if the Democrats don't take a majority in the House and the Senate. So as far as what Letitia James is doing, while I appreciate her efforts and I think more people in every jurisdiction that Trump has probably had some dealings in, if they look, who knows what they will find. I'm just wondering. I mean, look at what happened with Mar-a-Lago, that judge that he put in place, you know, finding that he needs a special master. He did not. I mean, you know, telling the DOJ that, you know, they can't, you know, continue to look at the work to look at what they're doing in terms of criminal charges. They can only look at it in terms of national security interests. Those two things go hand in hand. If they're looking at them and you're trying to separate the stuff out, so that would hamper their investigation into the matter. I just, you know, and then not to mention the fact the Supreme Court, I don't trust any of it at this point. Mm-hmm. I really do think that we are in a very bad situation in terms of our politicians and our legal system being compromised. I don't trust any of them. So when he is finally behind bars for something, then I will break out a bottle of wine, champagne or something and celebrate. But right now, it looks good. It sounds good, but I'm not excited. I hope it turns out well, but until it does, I'm not going to get all excited.
Well, yeah.
Hey, lady.
Hey, I see Dr. Sims there. Hey, Dr. Sims.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. We are talking about, Ann says she's not too excited. We just heard what she said about him being investigated. I understand, Ann, because this guy, he is as slithery as a catfish. Okay, we understand that. However, I think that when it comes to federal crimes, you know, this thing about, well, we've never indicted a sitting president before, you know. We don't know whether we should be able to do this because of the backlash that the society might place on us, and it might look too political. Man, look, the thing is, I believe that they're there to do the job. They should have nothing. It had nothing to do with elections coming up. And so they say, well, some of these indictments won't come down until after November because we don't want to look political. What? Two separate things as far as I'm concerned. The DOJ is supposed to do the DOJ's job, okay? And I tell you, and as long as you let a bully you around, because that's all been happening over the last 4 or 5 years or so, then they're going to keep on bullying. You need to punch a bully in the nose. Dr. Sims, your take.
And I thought about this, and I'm trying to stay up on the news about this guy. Yeah, he's like a slithering snake. However, I think he got something on a whole lot of them that's trying to get rid of him. And that part. So that's why they're dragging their feet, because if it had been one of us, we'd been under the jail, okay, mm-hmm. and renaming the prison, okay? And so it is what it is.
Renamed the prison, huh?
They have enough on this guy to indict him. So whether they're trying to be politically correct as far as November, it's not going to change. It's not going to change the evidence they got against him, nor is it going to enhance. From what I'm looking at, I believe they've got enough, but he's going to weasel his way out of something. And so guess what? They're going to have to find something else on him. I believe that they have enough. But then too, you know, he's very shrewd too. You have to understand that he's slick. All right. And I heard you, Ann, he's slick and William, he is a very slick, a smooth operator. And I really believe when rubber meets the road, I remember, and I think I told you this once before, William, they were at I forget if it was a funeral service or a church service, but he handed all of them politicians, he handed them all an envelope. Mm. Okay. This is while he was in office. My son brought this to my attention, and they opened this envelope while they were in the church service, and the looks on their faces, and he looked back at all of them. Mm. Okay. Because I really believe, you know, a snake is a snake is a snake. And when you got a bunch of other little snakes around you, okay, the one's going to have to get an upper hand on the other little snakes, okay? And so I really believe it's a blackmail process. I got something on you, so come for me if you want to. I'll blow the whistle. We all going down.
Mm. Yeah. Kind of well, I think
you're
right.
Something wrong with that. Something wrong. I don't
something
know what it is.
Something wrong with it. It is, because they've got enough on this guy, okay? Mm-hmm. To the point, what was it, the last the judge threw out where he tried to stop them from investigating all of the files that they got from Mar-a-Lago?
Yeah, that was that female judge who did that one.
A judge came. I just saw the judge came behind him and cast her.
The 11th Circuit.
And
yeah.
So now they're going forward. But here's the deal: Trump is still tooting his horn. But I also see fear in that guy's face.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I really do. I see that, oh my good, my tactics that I've done in the past is not flying today, not like it did back then. Mm-hmm. But I really think that he realizes rubber's getting ready to meet the road.
Well, the problem is, you know, they've acknowledged that before they found out about all this stuff with the documents, there were a lot of agents, spies, basically undercover, people working for, the United States who've been coming up missing, coming up hurt, dead, and on an alarming number. And now they can't even recruit new people to work for them. And so then you find out, oh, the man who did not want to hear anything about national security when he was president, who didn't want to read the reports, you had to give him the Cliff Notes versions of the report, took all these documents with him.
Wow.
And some of them are, you know, some of the files were empty, so we don't know where those documents are.
Right.
And so it makes you wonder, what did you do with them? We know that you don't care. You didn't read them. You didn't want to know, but you decided to take them with you. And then coincidentally, we have this problem in our intelligence community. Mm. And so nobody has said from the article that I read that 1 + 1 = 2 yet, but they raised the question, you know, they put those two things together and as soon, you know, as I heard the article, they'd seize, you know, national security documents from Mar-a-Lago. Why were they there? What is the point of that? And we already know from past behavior that he's very loose with national security. I mean, he tells two Russians in the White House some things that he should not have said. And then he tweets, you know, about satellite images. Why would you do this? So from his point of view, he's very vindictive. We've seen that. We know that he's one of those people that I will I will get you back. I will get you back. I wouldn't be surprised at all if this was just part of his vindictive behavior.
Well, you know what I think too, Anne, during the insurrection, while him sitting in office, I think he was destroying a lot of stuff, and what he couldn't destroy, he took.
Well, you know, I don't.
That's what I
think
believe.
He was probably destroying stuff, some evidence of things he did wrong that, you know, that was glaring, but what he took with him, you know, it's one thing to, you know, lead a hotel and take the towels. It's another thing mm-hmm. to leave the hotel and take the bed. You know what I'm saying?
That's
and
right.
this joker has left the White House taking something that obviously, you would miss.
Cause he was going to be in power some kind of way. Cause he took the papers and documents. He's working with somebody. Now the problem I'm having too, let's go back to Vladimir Putin when he visited him. I'm just putting everything together. Who does that? What president ever did that where he sat in there by himself? I think there was one interpreter sat in there by himself and he comes out with a basketball.
Well, you know, that in
something
itself,
really soccer ball. Fishy about that to me. Yeah. A soccer ball, whatever it was.
It was to everybody. Right. I mean,
just fishy.
It was to everybody because you don't want to give the other person, the other country, the power mm-hmm. to say what happened in this particular meeting. So, and then not only that, we document everything. You know what I'm saying? Which is another reason why Trump is in trouble. The leading tweets is a problem because we archive that stuff, and the fact that he's deleting it means that he is deleting some history. So, you know, he's in trouble for that. Not to mention the fact that, okay, we've got this man who sat here with Vladimir Putin. We know he doesn't have America's best interest at heart. And they've had this private conversation, and the woman who was in there was just seemed terrified to even talk about it, in my opinion. She didn't seem like
her. Is she still living?
I don't know. Her silence is probably the only thing that's keeping her alive. And then you're talking about Vladimir Putin, who, if you haven't noticed, has been very, very, very bold, especially this year mm-hmm. in terms of what he is willing to do. And not just him, China too.
Yes.
Now, when you think about the fact that part of what was taken from Mar-a-Lago and that we know was taken was the nuclear capabilities of some mm-hmm. other nation. We don't know if it was a nation friendly to us or not, but all I know is you've got the escalation on Vladimir Putin's part, as well as the Chinese, the part of the Chinese, not to mention the fact that they seem to be getting really chummy with North Korea.
Yes.
And India.
And I'm sorry, didn't China just start declaring that they are a nuclear, almost like a nuclear god? And I'm just rephrasing the words. All of a sudden they're really talking, like you said, really, really bold about this. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. there is something going. And then too, they just now, you have schools now, and I believe that they're trying their little strategic move. They've hacked into computers in the school, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard that on the news, where they're hacking into. I really believe that they are establishing a firmer foundation. I really believe that they've been fed some stuff by this ex-president. I really believe that.
I don't think it's in my opinion, I said from the beginning when Trump was in office, I said it, you know, and I said it since then. He's Putin's puppet. Putin put him
absolutely.
There. That was his boss. For 4 years, America was basically, Putin was the president from Russia.
You said it since
he
was elected.
At the end of the day, Putin was the president. Whatever Putin wanted, Trump was willing to do. So it's not a stretch in my mind. I mean, mm-hmm. absent any hard proof as to what happened to those documents, but I would not be surprised if later, you know, they find some connection between mm-hmm. what's been happening to the intelligence committee. I mean, it's community, what's been happening in the intelligence community to what's been happening, you know, with the Mar-a-Lago documents. It wouldn't surprise me.
It wouldn't surprise me.
There's no proof of that at this point. There was that you know, the insinuation in the mm-hmm. article that I read, mm-hmm. About those two things. I mean, if nothing else, like they said, it's a huge coincidence.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But I think the bigger problem we have is that you have two countries now who are throwing around that nuclear war, talk very willingly. Mm-hmm. That, Putin keeps saying it, you know, we're a nuclear power, we're not afraid to use it. And he's made that threat just again last week. China's making it too, especially in terms of Taiwan. And so they are a lot bolder, they are a lot more confident, and not only that, they're much more unified than they used to be.
Absolutely.
It used to be that China and Russia hated each other. Now they're bosom buddies.
Right.
And India, who's benefited a whole lot from the United States and from Europe, is basically seeming to cast their lot in with China and Russia. They've been, you know, buying up Russian oil. They're hedging their bets and seem to be leaning towards, you know, we're going to see how this new world order that China and Russia keep promising turns out, because that's what they said before this started. Mm-hmm. They shook hands, they were taking pictures, and they said there would be a new world order. So then all this, you know, is very, very coincidental, at the very least. But I think it's a whole lot more to it than what we're able to see at the, I mean, I don't want to sound like a QAnon conspiracy nut, because I'm not. No. But looking at the cold hard facts.
Right, right. You're not saying anything, and you're not saying anything that's related, even closely related to QAnon at all. No, I think you're right. There's a couple of points though. And, Dr. Sims, you made one, that I want to touch on right now. Before the election, you had Lindsey Graham, you had Ted Cruz, you had Marco Rubio. Hey, you had all these people telling you how awful this guy is. Let's see, Lindsey Graham, if I remember correctly, calling him a racist, a homophobe, a crook. It is calling all kinds of things, right? Ted Cruz, okay, he was talking bad about Mark Rubio. All of these cats were talking about how awful this guy is. So going back to what you said, Dr. Sims, handing the envelope to several people, I think you're exactly right about that. I didn't see the envelope, but I believe that he let them know, hey, look here, you come after me. I got something on you.
I got something on you.
I believe that. I honestly believe that.
Because, you know what, his daddy was ruthless like that.
Of course.
He was something else.
He was under tutelage of his father, and I'm sure his father covered various areas in case of, because his father was like little Hitler, okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Like he was like head of the CIA at one point, if I'm not mistaken.
Was there?
Wasn't that right, Reverend Henry? Didn't he have something to do with the CIA?
He was head of the CIA.
Yeah,
Trump's there?
So, I mean, George Bush one, okay, George Bush one was like the U.S. counterpart to Putin. Putin used to be head of the KGB, okay? Not to mention the fact that he grew up dirt poor and he's got street smarts and, you know, that criminal bent. Mm-hmm. But George Bush one was intelligent. Plus he was good at politics, and he was head of the CIA at one point. So we're talking about somebody who's savvy and intelligent and, you know, competent. Okay. That's just be real. He was very competent. George Bush too, not so much.
No, not so much.
Not, you know, but George Bush one, he was a bit of a player. Now Cheney, on the other hand, that was somebody who had a bit more competence to himself. I mean, anytime you take somebody out of the woods and they get shot, and everybody out there, it was an accident.
Yeah.
And I'm just kidding.
Is that when he got bird hunting? I think he went bird
That's
hunting,
he
right?
Was out bird hunting. That's right.
Right.
They went he shot a big bird.
It's like, yeah, but you know, when you take it into context with so many other things that happen when somebody says something negative or did something negative when that administration was in power, it was like, what did you couldn't help but think, partner, what did you say? What did you really do? What, matter of fact, what did you think too hard? You just, you just kind of couldn't help but wonder.
You know, that brother's first mistake, Ann, was going in the woods with a Republican.
That part.
And look.
Look, he probably was one of them.
Yeah, I bet he, well, he did something wrong, right? But I thoroughly believe that, how are you going to do a 180 like that? And says, this guy, on one hand, he's the worst in the world, and then you're going to turn around, and then you're going to lick his boots, right? Because if you remember, he even called a Dr. Durham. Remember he called Ted Cruz's wife ugly? And after he was elected, Ted Cruz getting on the phone and campaigning for the guy. Now, there's no way in the world, I don't care.
He was blackmailing Ted Cruz. He has something on him. Don't nobody campaign. You call your wife ugly unless he didn't love his wife. Come on here. He thought she was ugly, too.
Reverend Dimmer, you look like you about to say something. What did you say?
Well, you know,
I think you got a point.
I don't know you're in trouble, so that's why I'm going to quote from one of the preachers in my denomination. Jeremiah White, and he was right then, and he's right now. God damn America.
Woo! Woo! Y'all done made some preacher mad.
Yeah. I love it. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a preacher.
I will say this, you know, it when you read the Old Testament, and you read all the different books. If you read 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, and going back to Samuel, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, you will see the difference, between how God's favor is on the righteous ruler and how God punishes, how he curses, not just the evil ruler, but those who follow the evil ruler. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, while the Republican, so-called Christians are talking about what the Bible has to say about, you know, honoring the person who is, in power and that God put them in power. Okay. Nobody's gonna argue with you and say that those scriptures aren't in the Bible. But what I would ask you to do, if you really, my brothers and sisters who are disciples of Christ, is read all 66 books. Because it's more than just reading a couple of scriptures that talk about how you treat your leaders. But if you read to see how God looks at and treats and responds to a leader who's a blessing to his people because he first and foremost loves the Lord and obeys the Lord versus somebody who is an evil ruler who doesn't love the Lord and doesn't really care anything about the people either. There's a stark difference. Even in terms of those who do love the Lord. I mean, look, God loved David. Mm-hmm. Absolutely loved David, but even David got ousted from his kingdom for a little while when he sinned.
Come on.
So one of the things, the biggest thing I think they need to take away from it is, you know, while you're talking about, you know, Trump being chosen by God, well, you need to pay attention to Saul because there's a big difference between being chosen by God and being allowed to come to power by God. He gave Israel what they deserved, what they wanted. They wanted a king instead of having God as their ruler. And so he gave them one. He allowed them to have Saul. But not only that, if you keep reading about all the other evil kings, God did not only, he didn't only discipline the evil kings, discipline the whole nation that was following those evil kings. And you kept reading about Israel getting, you know, defeated by her enemies. You read about famine. You read about all these different things that happened to them. So I think they need to realize that no, folks, this doesn't necessarily mean that this is a good thing. Yeah, Trump was allowed to take power, but that doesn't mean that the favor and the blessing of the Lord is upon you. it just means, I'm sorry, Reverend Dimmer, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, as you were mentioning, which I think you're exactly accurate with using the Old Testament as a example, it kind of reminds me of the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom when they were split. You had Rehoboam and Jeroboam. The good king and the bad king. It's like the Democrats. That's almost what's happening here right now.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
That's why the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, we've just seen repetitive Amen. History coming on. And, and if I can interject here, mm-hmm. you know, you have some kings that did start off well. Okay. Mm-hmm. When you go mm-hmm. look back in the Old Testament. They mm-hmm. started off well, but here's what happened. And that's why I don't take two hoots to about how these people open their mouths and say what they're going to say and all they can do. Okay. Cause I was watching the debate today, mm-hmm. regarding Bass, in LA. The talk off, and they always talking this good game to my, if I would do this, I would do that. And a lot of them, that's a repetitive history because you're only allowed to do so much. Okay. You make mm-hmm. all these promises, you get in office, and then they start flipping the script. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so my thing is back even in the Old Testament, when God did allow, like you said, allow these men to stand mm-hmm. before his people. But you had a lot of them that started off well. The Bible says you did run well. What did hinder you? Mm-hmm. And so what happens is that they fall prey to power.
Yep.
They fall prey to greed. Yep. Okay. And they fall prey to not giving God his honor as All he right. required. And they fell into disobedience. I'm reflecting on King Nebuchadnezzar.
All you right. know,
King Nebuchadnezzar was very arrogant. He refused mm-hmm. to honor God. And guess what? God got something for you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just like he has something from Saul. Anytime David could have took Saul's life. If you reflect back on the history, God mm-hmm. spared him.
Right, see? Right, right.
And
right.
so I'm looking at King Nebuchadnezzar. What did he have King Nebuchadnezzar do? Gravel like an animal. Mm-hmm. Was that for 7 years? Okay. Yep. Until he came to his senses because God is the ultimate rule. Period.
But I'm glad you mentioned King Nebuchadnezzar because I think that's a really good, I say it all the time. First, you know, God allows, he punishes the evil ruler, but he allows mm-hmm. the country to yes. be, defeated by her enemies. And so what yes. you had in that term, in that case, was the children of Israel had, basically sinned against God.
Yes.
So God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come in and he had a siege around Israel for Jerusalem for 2 whole years, right? Before they finally breached the walls, took those who were left prisoner, a remnant of them anyway, prisoner, and took them to Babylon. Now, keep in mind, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't no fan of Jesus's. I'll say God in general because this was the Old Testament.
Right.
But when he got them there, you know, this is where we find out about the three Hebrew boys. You know, they, mm-hmm. what did he do? He tried to kill them, throw them in a fiery furnace because mm-hmm. they wouldn't worship false gods. So we're talking about evil people who were allowed to defeat the Israelites. Think about that. God's chosen people whom his favor was upon
mm-hmm.
because they had an evil king. And because they followed the evil king and sinned against God, God allowed the evil ruler to be the rod of discipline against them. And I'm just saying, America, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, you wanted Trump. He gave you Trump. Trump's going to be disciplined and you might want to look out about how the rod of discipline is going to fall on us because
mm-hmm.
If things keep going the way that they're going, mm-hmm. you know, with Russia and China, World War III is coming. It's just almost here. And the Chinese have made it really clear lately that all this saber rattling about Taiwan ain't necessarily just saber rattling. I mean, they have encircled the island like they were going to blockade it all because Nancy Pelosi paid a visit. Come on now. Mm-hmm. And just last week, President Biden made it very clear again, said on national television that, it, you know, asked directly, will the United States defend Taiwan if China attacks? He said yes, unequivocally. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, depending on who you talk to, some people, they're afraid by the rhetoric. Other people aren't. Basically, China's made it clear they're willing to take Taiwan by force. So either we're going to abandon Taiwan or somebody's going to help the island. As far as that one China policy goes, let me just be real honest with you about how that plays out. The one China policy is easy to say because it's true. Let's just put it out on the table. The Chinese were invaded by the communists. The communists took over the government and the true government left mainland China, went to Taiwan. So if we want to talk about it, yeah, China and Taiwan, that was all one government. The actual legitimate government of China is in Taiwan. As a matter of fact, I think it's called the Chinese Republic of something or other. That's the official name of Taiwan. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to say, yes, we agree that there is one China. We just agree that the rightful leadership is in Taiwan. Mm-hmm. And the people who forcefully took over about 70 years or so ago, that those people aren't the legitimate leaders of China. Mm-hmm. Now, so that says that's been playing out, you know, for the last 40 years. But now we are at the point where China's like, put up or shut up. We want all of our property back. So they've got Hong Kong back from Great Britain, and they promised that it could remain democratic, and it did for a little while. And now what have they done? They've basically run out everybody who tried to hold on to democracy. They've changed the laws. They've been putting people in jail. I mean, you guys know what the protests were like. They're not protesting now because now they've clamped down really hard on them, and democracy is basically dead if it's not just dying in Hong Kong.
That's right.
They'll do that same thing to Taiwan. And Taiwan knows it. So we're either going to A, help them, or B, leave them to their fate. That's the way that's going to play out. And the way that it's looking like China's going to try to do the same thing that
Russia's doing to Ukraine. Yeah. I agree. You know, I tell you, it is awful. And you look at all the turmoil. Now, we've said year after year after year, and even before we, got on the radio, did anything, you notice, each year or ever so often, things start getting worse and worse and worse and worse around the world. Look at what's happening in Iran right now. You know, the people in Iran, apparently they are fed up, and now they're taken to the street like they never have before.
They ought to. I don't blame them. I'm in solidarity with them. The way that they killed that young lady, and she was just visiting. You know, it just reminds you so much of Emmett Till coming from Chicago, going to Mississippi for a visit and ending up dying.
Dead.
I mean, you know, and that's what happened to her. She just went there for a visit and ended up dying. So I don't blame those women.
Protesting right now. I saw something on the news.
They're protesting also.
They're protesting against Putin, aren't they?
They are.
About the war, because now.
Because Putin wants to escalate the war on the Ukraine.
He's drafting. Right. He wants to draft 300,000 more.
Well, they're out in the street protesting.
They're out in the street.
Like it's a thing to do.
But the ones that can't leave, the people who can leave,
They are leaving.
Have left in droves because they don't want to fight.
I didn't know that part.
Oh, they, absolutely. Wow. I saw pictures the other day. And like, it's like wall to wall, backed up traffic for miles. People trying to get
they
out of
the
there.
Streets. They telling Putin, we're not having this. It's over.
Well, you know, I tell you what, I hope that they rise up and that they outnumber. But see, this is the problem, that they are having. The military there, they are vicious. Putin has militarized, put his military out in the street, or his police out in the street. And those guys are vicious. And see, their thing is, if we don't punish you guys like our leader tells us to, we will be punished. Cause now you take any soldier that wants to, desert, or any police officer that don't want to follow what Putin said, believe me, they are in big trouble. So I just hope that things change around there. I mean, it has to, because this world right here, it has gotten crazier and crazier. And it seems like Trump had adopted all of the rules that these dictators perpetrate on their society.
Yeah, because he wanted to be king of everything. Oh. Just be real.
Well,
he's a would-be tyrant, but
yeah.
The thing about Vladimir Putin is, okay, he's not a would-be tyrant.
He is
the tyrant.
Okay.
But when he started a war in February, by March, and I'm talking about March of, of this year. Well, I won't say March of this year. I'm just going to put it this way. A whole bunch of people have either vanished or died because they have criticized Putin. Just last week, there was another article about yet another person who suddenly had a notion to jump out of building.
Yeah.
He didn't have no, he was thrown out the building.
We already know.
But I mean, a bunch of people have either been thrown out of buildings. Oh, I'm sorry, have either decided to jump out of buildings.
You said it right the first time.
Or you know, they've been committing these really weird murder suicides with their families. So he doesn't play when he's not going to just threaten these people. You know, Trump may talk loud and try to bully folks into doing certain things, but Vladimir Putin gets it done.
Absolutely.
He's been doing this for years. I mean, he's poisoning people abroad who aren't even in the country anymore. I mean, you remember that Skripal man who and his daughter got poisoned in England. Even in the United States, somebody died under really weird circumstances. Mm-hmm. Who was, I think, a part of that circle or whatever. So, I mean, he's not one of those types of people that will bluff about something like that. And I truly don't think he's bluffing about using nuclear weapons. In my opinion, it seems like he was trying to set off a nuclear incident without having to use a weapon by shelling around that nuclear power plant. Because that way, if that plant goes off, it's not like he activated a weapon in Russia and sent it over to Ukraine. But at the same time, you get the same result. There's been a nuclear explosion in Ukraine, and not only is it going to affect Ukraine, it's going to affect Ukraine's allies, the people in the European Union.
That's exactly right. And I'm going to tell you something else. You're right. Trump is one of those that want to be a dictator. But this man is too stupid because he can't put two sentences together. Okay? He can't put two sentences together and it has been said that he can't even read. I was watching a clip of something.
His IQ is real low.
It could be low.
They said he cannot read.
Can't read.
He's got an ugly education.
It's real low.
Uh-huh. Wow.
It's stifling low. Talk about somebody else? Really?
Really? I like
Well, he said his IQ was higher. Who?
Really?
IQ did he say was higher than? I can't remember.
He didn't say Obama, did he?
It can't be Obama.
He said, but he said his IQ was higher than somebody.
Oh, well, you know,
when they did the history on that brother, they found out totally different.
Well, yeah.
Well,
he claimed he was top of his class, and one of his professors said he was the dumbest student he ever had there. So, he did. He said he was the dumbest student they had. So,
they did do that on this guy.
They did. Now, check this out.
Oh, my goodness.
Remember a couple of years ago, this big scandal, this huge scandal with these rich people in California, Dr. Demery and Dr. Sims. Remember these stars that were bribing people and paying people to take tests for their children? Remember that?
Yes.
And getting these.
I remember. Didn't they go to jail? Somebody did some jail time. Didn't
somebody
they?
Did do
just
some jail.
2 days or weeks or something. It was a slap on the wrist.
Okay.
But I'm glad they made an example out of them. I am.
Okay.
I
very little one.
I got a question for the panel.
A year would have been better. You know. Yeah.
Okay. With the money that Trump's dad had. Okay. Now. His dad was shrewd. They said he was a member of the KKK, and and I believe he was probably in the mob too. Okay, I don't know. I don't have any facts on that. But would it be such a stretch to think that his dad paid for not only the education but somebody to pass the classes for him? Because it is reported that he used to pay people to take tests for him. That's reported.
Okay, look. Before we started making examples of people and, you know, trying to do better, that was the norm. Everybody knew somebody's daddy, you know, gave a check for a library, a new dorm, whatever. And suddenly you got the credentials to get in. I mean, that wasn't a big thing. We all knew that thing happened. Now, what a lot of people don't know is that a lot of those schools have legacy kind of clauses. So if your parents graduated from this particular school, you automatically get to go. If your parent works there, so say you got a professor who works there, their children get to go. So we keep saying, or hearing rather, that it's about academic excellence, but not everybody there is necessarily academically excellent.
That's
a
right.
lot of it, you know, is nepotism, you know, in a way. You're there because you have a family member who went there before, who's an alumni, who, you know, works there. And that's what got them in. Then everybody else is scrambling,
mm-hmm.
To get in based on merit. So there's a bit more to it than what we've been told.
Right. quite a bit. Yeah. I think that, well, you look at the stupidity. Now we can go to our Senate and our Congress, especially mm-hmm. the Republican side, and you can see how stupid these people are. Now, if you take Marjorie Taylor Greene, for instance. Oh my God. Okay. Look, she was talking about, and she made this comment the other day, and nobody's even talking about really calling them out except for TYT was calling out. And yeah. she was talking about Canada purchasing 30 new electric airplanes. You guys hear about that?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and she was trying to make fun of it. Say, yeah, me and my colleagues, we were down here joking, and it kind of came up too. You remember when those people were on the slave ships and they were beat to row the boats and stuff like that? And I don't know how she
was trying to remember because she wasn't there either.
Yeah.
Okay.
So stop.
No.
Okay.
I'm saying is how. Mm. Could she try to even make that correction, make that inference make sense?
So she's white.
It makes no sense. But it makes no sense anyway. It's
it
absolutely
doesn't make any
stupid.
Sense. But see, sometimes they try to be subtle with their sarcasm, and that's what that is. That sarcasm crap makes me sick.
It is.
And
sick.
They use that analogy to make their hidden agendas or their plea. And they really get on my nerves. They think everybody's stupid.
Right.
When they bring this stuff out. They want to keep... They want to keep what they call a suppressed people suppressed by bringing these little jabs. And I really get tired of that foolishness. And she just as ignorant as the day is long as far as I'm concerned. And you
right.
can tell her to give me a call, 951-228-9980. And I'll tell her myself, she need to go sit down somewhere and suck on a grape and be quiet.
Yeah, wait, now then you have to change your number once already.
See,
stop doing
she
that.
She might call me, y'all. You got my back. I hope you got my back.
Well, we got you.
Don't do it. Look, you don't even have to look at her. I don't know where she got her degree from, and I don't care. But you can look because it's like, does she even have one? I don't know.
I'm not claiming that she has one. I'm not claiming that she even has one. I don't even know.
Oh,
okay. Okay.
But the Supreme Court is usually packed with people who have been to Ivy League schools. And you have a super majority of people who cow down to Trump.
It's a shame.
You can't tell me that an intelligent... Now, let's look at the rest of the demographics on who voted in the election. Most of the people who voted for Trump, they are clear about, don't have... an education. A lot of them, I won't say most, a lot of them, a high percentage of them don't have an education. But the rest of us who vote Democratic, the vast majority of us have college degrees. Now, the vast majority of us did not go to Ivy League schools though. So
right.
let's do the math on that.
Okay.
If the majority of us who do not have Ivy League degrees know better than to follow the Republicans.
Look,
than
I'm telling
to follow
you.
Trump. But then these people who do have Ivy League degrees and, you know, whatever else you want to call it, do. I think that just gives you an idea of what we're looking at. It's not necessarily that these people are so smart. You got more to this. You got elitism. You got, Christian nationalism, you've got white supremacy, you got a whole bunch of other factors that's playing into why they are so pro-Trump, so into having this particular person in office, and he's lining up with their ideology,
mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's lining up with what they believe. He's keeping them in power. Okay, I mean, if you're rich, the rich people love him, okay? The white supremacists love him.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to look at the type of people who are on board with this particular person. If you got a degree and you're following Trump, it's no. It's more to it than just,
yeah.
This is my politics.
I agree. You know, I tell you what, there are two factors. And one, Dr. Demery said a couple of years ago, and, And it holds true. It's certainly true. And that's two things. First, Dr. Dimmer said fear is number one. Okay. So you take the white supremacists who don't have a lot of money, and most of them are poor. As a matter of fact, there was a sister, and I forgot where this happened, whether it was Georgia, Alabama, or whatever. She went into, apparently she likes to play billiards, or she likes to play pool. So she went into the pool hall, and it's a white establishment, right? And some of the patrons, white patrons in there, started harassing her. Said, don't you know this is a white establishment? You know, what are you doing here, blah, blah, blah. And her sister clapped back, said, you know what? You're just a white supremacist, and don't you know that most white supremacists are poor? She said, don't you know you're poor? She sure did. She clapped back, and I'm glad nothing happened to her.
She lived in and walked in there like that?
I'm glad nothing happened to her, right? But anyway, you're right. But so it's a couple of things. It's fear and it's greed. So the ones you talk about and the ones that have something to gain monetarily and like with lower taxes and whatever it is, favors or whatever it is, yep, they'll go for them, right? And they don't care who they hurt. Some of these people sell out, they will sell their mamas, right? The others. Yeah.
They, look, and they did with this coronavirus. It's like, okay. The old people are expendable. The poor people who can't work from home, they're expendable. It was like a targeted genocide, you know, we'll just let it sweep through those communities.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, and
backfired on them.
I tell you something else. And then what I think what they feel is that, well, my kid goes to a private school, so I don't care what happens to the public school. So, yep, we love our Second Amendment rights. And what is really offensive, what they call, I love God, I love my country, and I love guns. How do those things come together? How do they
Well, they
even
don't represent
come together?
God, so they need to cast that out their mouth. Because well, see, God is not about hate and bigotry and division. They got God twisted, period.
You know, I tell you, I don't understand how come they don't have a fear that says, you know what, if I keep using the Lord's name in vain, my mom told me a long time, used to tell me when we were kids, tell us rather, do not use the Lord's name in vain. Don't do
they
it.
Are of
don't
their
do
father,
it.
Father, the devil. They are of their father, the
devil. Which Lord, which God they're talking about, because they're
you exactly right.
Okay.
They worship an idol. It plain and simple, Dr. Thank Sims. You. They worship it. They have created this mythological figure that they think is, first of all, white, loves only white people, and just kind of likes everybody else a little bit.
Yeah. They were rolling Trump around. They made him gold with the flag underwear.
Oh, Lord.
Taking pictures, talking about, you know, and they were rolling him from city to city or building to building, and they take flexing and taking pictures. I'm like, you know what? They just...
I tell you, ignorance
is not bliss.
Well, yeah, really I tell you is. Something else, Dr. Sims and Ann and Dr. Demery. Those folks, they will shoot you or kill you if you talk about taking away Santa Claus. They believe.
I already know. I had this within my family. I say you couldn't possibly believe a big old fat white cat come down the chimney.
Right.
Okay. Eating up your cookies and drinking your milk and leaving gifts.
Uh-huh.
You need to quit. And then teaching your kids about the Easter Bunny, really, having Easter eggs, different colors.
The bunny lays
eggs. That is ludicrous. That is crazy.
Think about
both of them are idols. Both of them are idols. And the sad part about it is they don't recognize the idolatry. You know, instead of telling people about Jesus coming, yes, you know, being yes. born of a virgin, mm-hmm. To take away the sins of the man crucified, yes. you know, died for our sins and, yes. and then resurrected again. They singing Santa Claus is coming to town.
Right.
You know, they reading his Bible towards the night before Christmas and all through, you know what I'm saying? And,
right.
and they telling everybody, they taking their kids to pray to him for what they want for Christmas. And
exactly.
then, you know, they make the little altar in their house with the cookies and the milk.
Uh-huh.
That they sit out.
It's right.
I want to admit, I fell prey to that as a young girl, but I told somebody Santa Claus was broke when he came to our house, because all he left us was an apple and a little small transistor radio that worked for 2 days.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I had one of them too.
It is.
And the reception was bad. The reception was bad, Dr. Sims.
Oh, can you hear me?
Proof.
No, no, I said no, the transistor
proof.
Radio.
No, he's talking about the reception.
Oh, God. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, God.
Even more than bad, it was a little old dollar radio. Okay, I'm just saying. And how long do you expect that to last? Not that I wasn't grateful because my parents did what they could. I even right. carried that over to my family. See, it's also what you're being taught, exactly. and not understanding what you're being taught, not getting right. the history behind it.
Right.
Well, right. I carried that over in ignorance to my own children, mm. okay? To the fact where I sat them down and said, wait a minute, okay? Santa Claus is not doing this. Me and your dad is working hard to
right.
buy this stuff, and Santa gets no more credit in my house.
Look.
Let me right. Right. No.
Hey, this is something I did, and Dr. Demery and,
I'm not talking about Jesus, okay?
No, we ain't talking about that. No, no, and Dr. Sims. I never taught my son or my daughter about Santa Claus. Never did.
Okay.
Because as hard as I work, I say, I ain't giving no white man the credit for this. I ain't doing it. I'm not doing it. I am not doing
it. Well, you're just a rebel with a cause.
That's I've always been a rebel.
Dead, okay. I was trying to get educated. You know, you know what? And it was funny. And I'll say this. I was in church as a young girl. Okay.
Yeah. And the deacons and the pastor come dressed up like that.
In fact, I happened to look back on one of the shows that I was here on the Boomerang, and I had a Christmas tree and all them Christmas lights. And I had to realize, I said, I'm not doing that no more. Okay. Because mm-hmm. I taught my children, because even with the Christmas decorations and things like that, that's not honoring the Lord. It mm. really isn't. Mm-hmm. And what it is because it is playing into the idol God that the world has established, the delusional thing. And I'm not saying because I'm jovial and I'm joyous or what have you. I know how to set the atmosphere in my home mm-hmm. without doing all that hoopla, because that is still representation of Santa Claus. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're fixing up your house. You're adorning it for Santa to show up. Okay. That's,
really?
That's what I have learned. And then me with my walk with God, I said, I want Jesus to show up for real.
Hey.
Okay. Now, if anybody gonna show up, let him come on in. Okay. And not that he's not there already,
right.
but that was just my analogy, because I was giving too much to what man has taught. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
To what man has taught down through the years. And we, through ignorance, have accepted that concept, because mm-hmm. and going back is still learned behavior within the household. Like you said, William, you didn't teach your kids that, right? Your children, should I say that?
That's
but
right.
some of us were not privy to the knowledge that we have at this very hour, or right. even, you know, when we made the correction.
Well, let me tell you.
But I mean, it's proof positive is how a lie, you know, how an idol can wreak such havoc in a person's life. I mean, my sister to this day, she's 40 some years old. She's still upset because my cousin told her that Santa Claus is your mama and your daddy. I mean, just question the little world. She's like, he didn't have to tell me like that. I'm like, first of all, I didn't ever have to lie.
And you grown too? You mad?
Really? Still, seriously?
Still mad.
Oh.
But not only that, it's not just a, you know, a family lie. They tell you to lie at school. Even the people on the news, the weatherman, talk about they got radar on Santa Claus. He over here in this area. What?
Wow.
You know, so, I mean, it's a lie that's permeating the entire society. And that's the type of thing that happens with these idols, mm-hmm. including this idol that they've made of Trump. Their politician and the political white Jesus that they have come up with. And it's not the first time they've done it. Part of the reason why, and Reverend Demery, correct me if I'm wrong, the Sadducees and the scribes and the Pharisees didn't accept Jesus is because they wanted him to come back in a certain way. Exactly. They wanted, you know, their oppressors to be kicked out. They wanted right. their king to be established on earth, ruling them, making Israel, you know, what it was before. But since he didn't come the way that they wanted him to come, then they couldn't accept him. Not only that, their power's being usurped mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. a way that they didn't like.
Yeah.
But anyway, Reverend Demery, what did you want to say?
Well, I know you're exactly right, man. It's just like, the Republicans are getting their power taken away.
Right.
And boom.
The Brodians,
that's key.
Brodians and the Sanhedrin, you know, got together and said, look, this joke is getting ready to ruin our thing. We got boy,
yeah.
because he's ruining our stuff.
Yeah, we got a good thing going on here.
Now they're mad at the Democrats because the Democrats are ruining their thing.
That's right.
Ruining their power structure. and all of that. Because, I mean, you know, if you want to look at Trump as a demagogue, maybe so, but he was as dumb as a box of hammer.
That's pretty dumb.
A whole box.
That's pretty dumb.
A box of hammer. He's a whole box of hammer, not just one hammer.
But you know what, Dr. Dibber, if I can piggyback on you and you brought out about the Pharisees and Sadducees, he was actually, and Jesus too, was showing them all that knowledge that they had and the law, and they walking around flexing and not helping people, because that's what they was doing, because they weren't even fulfilling the law. And what Jesus did came and uncovered them, okay? And they didn't like it, and it showed their hypocrisy to the people, okay? And so, well, yeah, they had to get rid of him, just like Dr. Demery says, and the politicians today. They got to get, and you said it too, Ann, they got to get rid of folks so that the covers won't keep being pulled off.
Hey.
At least leave the sheet on, okay? so that we can hide something,
okay?
But I'm telling you, the American people are getting privy to what is going on. They're no longer